Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
So, but I am not voting for Arnold Palmer. I would, now that I know that he has a huge Arnold Palmer has a huge ding-dong, according to Donald Trump.
Who, I'd freaking love Arnold Palmer to drink, but
me
I've
too.
Been embarrassed to order any for like the last week.
Why?
Because I think people are going to think I'm MAGA now if I can order an Arnold Palmer.
They're not going to think you're MAGA. They don't even know what you're... No one knows about that kind of stuff unless you pay attention to the media.
Arnold Palmer was all man, and I say that in all due respect to women, and I love women. He took showers with the other pros. They came out of there, they said, oh my God, that's unbelievable. I had to say it.
I thought you'd be worried that they were thinking you like big dicks.
I think that's his real worry, that they're going to think he likes big dicks. I think that if you drink an Arnold Palmer, it'll add an inch to you if you have 100 of them a year.
I do love a good Arnold. I didn't know the joy of the Arnold Palmer till I moved here.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it existed.
You order Arnold Palmers at restaurants?
Usually I'll just mix them. Sweet tea is super sweet, but if you cut it with some lemonade, bah.
See, I don't like tea to have any sort of sweetening in it. So if you put the lemonade in, my mom would put lemonade in, make Arnold Palmer so I wouldn't drink the iced tea. She was a spiteful woman.
I just want to know what the locker room talk. I kind of picture the golf.
The locker room in Caddyshack.
I was thinking more in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
How are you doing? What's going on?
I just saw Joey Funkhouse's new penis.
Whoa.
What? It's big.
Mm. How big?
Really big.
Wow. Did you see the balls?
That's what I'm picturing, is Larry and Jeff Garlin all, you know, like checking out.
Arnold Palmer.
You know, Jack Nicklaus had one weird giant ball that was the size of a grapefruit.
It did. It was huge. And, you know, he could peel it because it had a lot of dead skin on it. So it looked like a grapefruit. You know, a lot of golfers have big junk. You know, Tiger Woods, he has a huge one. It's one of the biggest, really. One of the biggest, really. And that's why he got so many waffle waitresses. Really?
I mean, the word wood is in his name.
Right there. In his name. That's right. It's in his name. So besides talking about that, I made thousands of people sick because I went to that McDonald's and they on the quarter pounder meat. And then, you know, they shipped it everywhere. So everybody's got Trump E. coli. Trump E. coli. Everybody's got that. Everybody's sick and they've got the poop. They got my poop. And hopefully I won't have it when I go sit down with Joe Rogan on Friday to tape JRE, Joe Rogan Experience. Train by day, Joe Rogan by night, all day.
It is messed up that just after he is at McDonald's, everybody gets...
There's a conspiracy that it's all being that it's fake, and that's because the people that don't like Trump don't want him to win, and they're mad at McDonald's. And then that senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, sent this letter to McDonald's, the CEO, the other day with some other people in the Senate. You're price gouging everybody with your expensive burger meat. And, of course, everybody knows that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. Oh, by the way, the thing that really bothered me the most about this chicken Big Mac is I don't ever look at the price. I just order. And I got the $14.95, please pull it around. I'm like, what? $15? That. I'm never getting that against. That's not true. The prices have gone up because the cost of fuel goes up and the cost of growing things and transporting things. And, you know, people who understand basic economics know that McDonald's isn't just going, oh, that's fuck. Everybody. Oh, we said the word. Dustin, change it to grape. We are now, as of the release of this, 9 days away. 9 days away from the most important election in our entire lives. This is the most important one since the last one and the one before that. And the one before that, and the one before that. So every one of them is very important. So make sure you all get out there and vote, because it's so important. You have to vote. You have to vote. And then after you vote, make sure you take a picture of the sticker and put it on Instagram and Facebook and X and whatever you use. What's that Twitter clone that Mark Zuckerberg came up with that you guys like? Threads. Make sure you tell everybody that you voted, because, you know, if you don't, people are going to be suspicious. Why didn't that person post a picture of themselves wearing
this? What is this crap where they're like, who you voted for isn't public knowledge, but if you voted is, do you want your family members to know that you didn't vote? That's the big threat commercial I've been seeing the last couple weeks. I'm like, I don't give a shit if they know if I voted or not. I mean, scare tactics of like, you're going to be shunned because you didn't vote.
Why can't it be like 1992, where you just walked in, voted, and walked out? Goodbye. And then you went home and you watched CNN, and by 9 o'clock, you knew who won. We're not going to know for like a week.
I don't know. I pictured like voting day. It's the opening scene of The Batman, but he's just riding by with that Nirvana song playing, looking at the lines of people going in to vote. And it's just creepy and ominous and weird.
I had a friend who went to the Trump rally in Duluth today. And they were sending me videos of the people in line and all the merch. They have all these tents. It's like a music festival. They have tents. You can buy all this Trump shit. And then Rudy Giuliani has to give up his Joe DiMaggio jersey because he was an idiot in 2020 and started accusing these poor ladies just volunteering at a vote counting center. He just started saying,
they had flash drives, and they were changing votes. These two ladies.
And then these poor ladies, just, you know, normal people who volunteered to work, you know, their lives were torn to pieces. So now he loses his townhouse. He loses his all these things that he has. He's losing them because he's a dumbass. So anyway, so Rogan will have Trump on. I thought that he was going to have both of them on. I do not see, this will probably be the shortest Rogan episode ever, right? Because Trump's not going to sit there for 3 hours with him. It's impossible. He can't sit with somebody for 3 hours.
No, I think he'll probably have 5 shows after it, getting all of his friends' opinion on it.
Yeah, probably. Do you think that Shane will show up in full Trump outfit and sit there?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would make it worth watching.
Do you have any of those chimpanzee videos where the chimps go nuts and rip the faces off of their owners? Watch some of those.
I just want to know the behind the scenes shit that's going on.
Oh, you have little race cars. Is that where, I want to ride the little race car. Maybe Baron can do that while we're at.
Is Baron probably coming with him?
Baron loves all these podcasts. That's how he ended up on Theo Vaughn. I mean, Trump had no idea who Theo Vaughn was. Probably didn't know who Andrew Schultz was.
He knows him from the UFC fight.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Trump went on, what podcast did he go on? He went on The Undertaker's podcast, which caused a bunch of WWE veterans who hate Trump to start making videos. I think Mick Foley came out with one today. A lot of these, it's just so funny to see how politics just found its way into old wrestling, you know.
You have a Hacksaw Jim Duggan making one.
Hacksaw Jim, he's just happy to be alive. If you follow him on Instagram, every picture is him at a festival smiling, because he had a real bad health problem. And I think he almost, you know, passed away, but he made it through that. You know, Jesse Ventura is coming back. Hopefully he'll get a haircut and stop looking like the Crypt Keeper if he comes back. I think what they'll have him do in 2025 is his old role, because Saturday night's main event is coming back to NBC.
I don't know. If he put that jewel back in his chin, I'd vote for him for president.
The jewel back in his chin. I wish I could do Jesse. I drive around and practice it, but then I'm like, nah, I sound too much like Will Sasso doing it.
It's not bad, though. It's pretty good.
Well, you have to have the Minnesota. Nowadays, he's a lot older. And he sounds like he has something in his mouth whenever he speaks.
That's pretty good, too.
If you go back to the 70s and the 80s, he didn't really have that sort of thing. He was a little more animated. Well, you know, Gorilla Monsoon, Roddy Piper's going to get in that ring and take care of Hulk Hogan. I guarantee you that's going to happen. They were the best. You know, they cut him out when you watch old footage of WWF wrestling, because McMahon did not like him and they had all these issues. They would cut his voice out. I think he was the best announcer, those two. Anyway, I'm bad.
Yeah, he was great.
Why did you make everybody take that vaccine? They went after me. Rogan still talks about the vaccine and how they demonized him. So that'll be fun. I'll watch it. It'll probably come out, what, Saturday?
Yeah.
If he records it on Friday. I would have liked to have seen both of them, you know, have him one day, have Kamala Harris the next day. But I don't think either of them are capable of doing three-hour shows. So he could have done it that way, you know, Trump first, Kamala second, hour and a half each.
If I was going to watch him on anything, I would have much preferred to have him on Tim Dillon.
That would be so great. Jeff wouldn't watch it. He hates Tim Dillon.
Joe should have Tim on with him to, like, co-interview him.
And Alex Jones.
Yeah. Do the whole the trifecta.
Yeah, the trifecta. Jeff, who do you hate more, Trump or Tim Dillon?
Tim Dillon.
Oh, wow. You hate Tim Dillon.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, this is what we're, this is new Radiolab. We've got to be honest about everything. Yeah. Got to be honest. I'm not going to be honest about anything. Let's see. Over the weekend, I watched Maxine. Did anyone else watch Maxine now that it's streaming and you don't have to pay for it?
I did.
Yeah.
I loved it. What'd you guys think?
I liked it.
Yeah. It was good. It was a next step in, you know, I knew it was going to be the 80s VHS, you know, porn era.
I found it, like, if you watch 80s movies like that all the time, it reminded me of Angel. There was To Live and Die in L.A. There was body double type of stuff going on. And the actress that they had play the director of the movie she was making, the legitimate horror movie she was making, that actress absolutely nailed the overconfident female boss character from the 80s, I thought.
Yeah, she was the wife in that one show. The one that was about the sex therapists that had
Masters and Johnson.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, what's her name? You call her Titties McGee cuz she's
I like her. She's a great actress. Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah. Yes. But Jeff, it surprises me you're not into that movie series.
I haven't seen any of them.
The first one's great. It's like the Texas Porno Massacre.
Yeah, that's still my favorite. X is my favorite, but I thought I didn't like Pearl. I thought Pearl was a piece of crap. I was really hoping this was better.
It was way better than Pearl, but Pearl's sort of a weird throwback to 30s cinema. It was sort of out of place, but it was a good way to keep a bridge in between those other two movies.
But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I just wish they would have did more with the fact that they had the Night Stalker. They had that whole storyline running in the background. And I was kind of hoping, like, she'd meet up with him at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe she was banging him or something. And I mean, yeah. I just wish they would have incorporated him more into it.
Who's she? She's married or engaged to Shia LaBeouf, right?
I thought she was with the person who made the movies.
I think she's with Shia LaBeouf. What's her name?
Mia Goth,
boyfriend.
Yeah, she's married to.
Oh yeah, Shia LaBeouf. They're married. They got married in 2016.
I did not know that. They've been together.
They have filed for divorce. It says that too.
Okay, I guess he did divide us, didn't he?
Divide us. I forgot to mention how much I enjoyed seeing Giancarlo Esposito as that schmarmy,
holy shit,
80s Hollywood agent. He was great.
Totally didn't even sound like himself. He did a really good affectation. That was a good character for him.
Yeah, and just the way they threw Bobby Cannavale in there.
Del Monahan, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maxine, and then I guess we all watch episode 5 of The Penguin, Homecoming.
Hells yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hells yeah. What a good episode. Not so much Penguin, really, but a lot more, what is the name of that crime family?
The Falcone.
They're gone. Now it's the
Gigante
family.
Yep.
My favorite actress of all time, spoiler alert, did not make it out of the episode. It got too hot for her.
And that was brutal.
Yeah. That was brutal.
I don't understand what's going on. So you see what's happening with the crime families. You know, the Gigantes are taking over Sophia. But you also see what's going on with Oz. And you're seeing him find the what will eventually be
into his lair.
Lair, right. And it reminded me a lot of the 92 Batman Returns because, you know, that was where all the penguins were and Danny DeVito.
Well, if you remember, the Batman, his lair is a subway station.
Yes, it's part of that underground trolley station.
So it's down there. They're very close to each other.
But there's going to be, there's three episodes left. So we're not going to see him become the crime boss by the end of it, are we?
I think that'll be the apex of it, because they've already come out and said that her character is going to be one of the main characters in the Batman 2. So
all right.
So she's
they're not going to get rid of her, but maybe they'll get rid of everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, Colin Farrell did say that you will hate the Penguin by the end of it. So something big's going to happen.
And then John Turturro was supposed to be Falcone, in the show as well as was in the movie, the Batman. Battison Batman.
Why didn't he?
He said there was too much violence against women, so maybe there's something coming up that we haven't seen, that it's going to shock us. And
well, they did. He did light a lady. I mean, spoiler alert, they burned a lady on fire, so
he lit her son on fire, and she couldn't let go of him. Dummy. Not you, her.
I couldn't let him go. The House of Sand and Fog.
And Johnny, what was his name? Johnny Beattie?
Mm-hmm.
You got the little kiss of death there at the table.
Okay. Yeah, you knew that was the only reason she was keeping him alive, was for a display of power.
I like that actor. He's from Atlanta.
Yeah, he's from right down the street from me. He went to Brookwood High School.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. You ever see him?
Yeah, all the time. We meet up at the Dairy Queen over in Five Forks.
He goes to Culver's. All right. So that's pretty much it. I got nothing else to talk about, really. As far as the beginning goes. But man, Arnold Palmer, what a big dick.
I think everybody saw this coming if you watched any of that whole Tesla unveiling last week, that there was clearly images from Blade Runner 2049 in his promo. And they called the makers the day before and asked if they could use those images. And they were told no, and they did it anyway. So they have got a big fat lawsuit against them filed this past Monday.
So in that instance, I would absolutely we didn't have time to ask them earlier. So we just put it together, and I'll gladly write them a check. Right after I give Andrews $1 million for signing my Protect the First Amendment petition.
And they say ultimately it has to do with just them not liking him is the main reason why they didn't want him to use the images, because of some things that he said, like some derogatory statements that he made last year on Twitter that made it sound like he didn't care about Jewish people or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So that's why.
I just wanted to give him a Voight-Kampff test.
What's that?
It's the test from Blade Runner to see if you were an android or not.
I am an android. The real Elon Musk, I live on an island with Grimes, and we created robots. I really can't stand Donald Trump, but the robot, has its own a brain. And so the robot sort of likes Donald Trump. So yes.
Don't you think they have all this technology? Why do you gotta reuse Blade Runner images? Why can't you create your own?
Yeah, just use AI to generate your own shit.
He's got his own AI.
Well, and they kinda did that, but what they did was they were like, hey AI, make an exact thing that looks like Blade Runner is what they did, instead of just coming up with something else that was completely.
Well, that's why they'll settle out of court. He'll just give them money, because it's not that he used footage, he used a likeness.
Yes, but it was like just like it.
Right. So
anyway, so we already touched on this, but this McDonald's E. coli outbreak, I guess Tim is not going to get a quarter pounder this week, or are you still going to go for it, Tim?
You know, I'm not really a quarter pounder guy anymore. I've turned into, and Jeff knows me well enough to know that I used to be a quarter pounder guy. And when we would go to McDonald's and then go sit up by the water towers, and instead of making out, we would eat McDonald's. And Jeff would give me shit because I would always eat the French fries before I ate the burger. You can't do that. You remember yelling at me about that, Jeff?
No.
But you did. And I said, well, you got to eat the fries while they're hot. I hate them.
I agree.
So you eat them first and then you eat the burger. But I'm a McDouble guy. I like the McDouble.
Just whatever you do, I would say, because they're trying to say that it's still safe to eat at McDonald's. Just probably skip the quarter pounder for a minute till they figured out if it's the onions, if the onions have poop on them. Because
it's the onions, the raw.
Because they don't get heated up like the meat, and so if there's dookie on these onions, they're not getting cooked off.
Why don't they just say it's the onions then? The onions on the burger. They just make it sound like every burger at McDonald's in the news.
Well, because they can't say for sure that's what it is. Oh.
Well, then just get a McDouble, because they're on the onions on the cheeseburgers and the McDoubles and the Big Mac are those dehydrated ones.
Yeah, the reconstituted ones.
Mm-hmm.
With shit water.
So I guess it's as safe as it always was to eat there. And I'm sure you're eating as much shit as you always did.
And how would you even tell if Tim had E. coli? He has the symptoms all the time anyway.
I've had solid poops. You know, yesterday I went and had lunch with an old friend of mine, and we went to a Persian restaurant in Peachtree Corners, which is north of Atlanta.
Rumi's Kitchen?
No, it was like D-Bars. I don't know. It was something in fucking Farsi. So we went in there, and I've been looking forward to it because there's this kebab that I like, Persian kebab I like, called kubide, and it's ground up spices and meat.
And that means I farted in Farsi.
Does it really? No, that's guzidam. Guzidam, and I know that. So I ate it, and I was like, oh, this is so good, and I was eating hummus and all this good stuff and spearmint and all that shit they give you and the balsamic rice. And like 3 hours later, I was just burping up that saffron and coriander, and it was just like, oh, I need a honey bun. So anyway, yeah, I'll probably have a double McDouble tonight on the way home.
Just to settle it all down.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
It won't be the chicken Big Mac, because that thing sucks.
Yeah, nobody's
found out. I'm sorry to do that, but I found out they don't use the McChicken patty, and they don't use the other chicken patty that they have for their knockoff of the Chick-fil-A sandwich. You know what they use? They use a gigantic McNugget. That's why it doesn't taste good.
But the problem is they use the old recipe for the McNugget, so it's the dark meat.
Yeah.
They don't use the white meat McNugget, and they use that batter from it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
The pink shit.
So do they just hammer it out? They just hammer out that nugget and make it thin?
No, they got little molds. And guys are available right now in the TikTok shop. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, James Gunn, he's really talking up this Superman movie that he's in charge of. And he's saying that people are going to lose their shit over David Corn Sweat. Mm-hmm. As the new Superman, and that Rachel Brosnahan from Mrs. Maisel is kick ass as Lois Lane.
Oh, sweet. I'll check that out for sure. The DC movies have to me been better than the Marvel movies, so can't wait.
Yeah, and this one is going to tell the story of Superman's journey to reconcile his Kryptonian heritage with his human upbringing as Clark Kent.
As long as it's not a origin story where he's a baby and he has to learn how to be, oh, I got superpowers.
It's supposed to have crypto in it.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be set.
A dog. Yeah.
No shit.
James Gunn's dog is playing crypto, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's exciting. It says that it's set in a world very different from ours and far removed from the DCEU.
Well, then what's the point?
I would imagine, like how in Guardians 3, how you had that planet where the animals were. It seems like he's like the modern Tim Burton when it comes to creating like a self-contained world.
Okay.
Agreed. So totally. Especially you got Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor. Nathan Fillion as Green Lantern.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it should be pretty good. I'm looking forward to it. I wasn't a One Direction fan. I don't know about you guys.
It's still sad. The guy fell off the balcony.
Yeah, was
drunk and high or whatever, still sad.
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying that he had the pink cocaine in his system when he died, which I thought was pink cocaine, but apparently not.
No, yeah, it's like fentanyl and ecstasy and shit.
MDMA, ketamine, and methamphetamine.
Yeah, and caffeine, which is what really pushes it over the edge.
Caffeine, and what he also had. Benzodiazepines and crack cocaine.
Well, that's awful. But But it is terrible.
He was kind of doing the damn thing. He was doing it all up. And, you know, I guess the lady at the that was working the front desk, they knew something was awry, and they called 911. But by the time they got, because he was tearing the room apart.
Mm-hmm.
And according to sources, it has to do with him and his old lady breaking up.
That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty sad. My mom was listening to One Direction yesterday when I called her. She was like, I've never listened to them. They're pretty good.
Wow. Well, he went in One Direction.
I was waiting for that.
They're so terrible. Terrible.
Heaven. Up to heaven.
You guys Matthew Sweet fans?
Well, what happened to him again?
He had a debilitating stroke.
Yeah, he was supposed to play in Atlanta last night, opening for Hanson. Yeah, that's a terrible story.
Yeah, but hopefully he's going to be okay.
He's got a long road to go.
Yeah.
He does, but they launched a GoFundMe for him, and lots of people have donated. So he's gotten well over $100,000 so far to help contribute to his care, which I'm sure that's just going to be a drop in the bucket for what's going on with him. But, I mean, he definitely was one of those 90s.
He was. That one album, I think it's called Girlfriend. Right?
Yeah.
Every song on that is what did they say today? A banger. Every song on that is great. The great power pop songs.
He was a great songwriter. He wrote for a lot of people, too, that people don't realize that he did that. Studio musician. He did all the music for the Austin Powers movies. Anytime you see a band or a song, that was Matthew Sweet.
Well, let's hope he gets well and donate money if you can afford it to help him out.
Yeah, this guy, DJ Elliot Mintz, I guess he's got a new book coming out, but he's talking about his time with Yoko and John Lennon back in the day. And
you don't know who Elliot Mintz is?
I'm not really.
Well, back in the 1980s, Elliot Mintz hosted a radio show called The Lost Lennon Tapes. And this is how he sounded. And it was The Lost Lennon Tapes, and it ran every weekend on the radio on a Sunday. So you would have that, and then a couple hours later, listen to Dr. Demento. Anyway, that Elliot Mintz was friends with them. So, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, that's what this is all about, basically. And he's, like, telling things about them that supposedly he'd never told before, and that how John could be kind of cruel.
Wake up, you bitch. I know it's 4 a.m. and everything, but I'd like to go out in the kitchen and cook me something to eat while I come down off this heroin. By the way, you know, I didn't like my one son, Julian. Never was a fan of Julian's all that much. You know who I like? I like Sean. I wrote a song about Sean. You know, after I was shot, my album came out. Well, my album wasn't doing very well, and then I was shot, and then it shot to number one. The toppermost of the poppermost. And then, imagine my son Julian buying the record and hearing the song Beautiful Boy. I never wrote a song about him. Paul wrote a song about him called Hey Jude, one of my least favorite Beatles songs. Anyway, wake up, Yoko.
Oh, my God. Well, speaking of iconic songs, probably Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us song was like the biggest track like all year, I would say. And recently he got interviewed ever since the whole Drake showdown has been over by Harper's Bazaar. SZA interviewed him and she asked him what Not Like Us meant to him. And I think a lot of people thought that it meant, you know, not like us as far as like racially.
Whitey?
Something like that, you know. And it turns out, because, I mean, you see tons and tons of bar mitzvahs where they're all doing Not Like Us.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's a whole thing. But he said that Not Like Us is the energy of who he is and the type of man he represents. And, you know, if you identify with the man that he represents, a man that has morals and values and believes in something, that he stands on something and he's not pandering. And I thought that was really cool to hear him say what it means. And it doesn't have anything to do with race. It's just about, you know, a way of being.
That's cool.
I thought it was. That was for me. Well, Chick-fil-A, their podcast, are you guys going to download their app? You can pre-download it right now so you can start listening to all these Chick-fil-A podcasts.
Is Tim Dillon on there?
Thanks.
he's got a Sunday show on there.
What kind of shows are on there?
Oh, they're going to have one is scripted. It's called Hidden Island, and it's about a family that shipwrecks on a deserted island.
Wow.
Aren't they starting a streaming service as well?
They are. Yes. Is this part of that?
Yeah, no, this is totally separate. This is their, you know, you through your Chick-fil-A Play app, which you can pre-download it now, even before there's nothing on there. Right. But it's going to have, like, you know, just different shit like that on there. We have to talk about it because every other day, Sean Diddy Combs has yet another allegation brought against him. This time, a 13-year-old girl said that she was SA'd at an after party for the MTV Video Music Awards in 2000.
Mm.
She was only 13. She said she was trying to get into the VMAs, and apparently the limo driver felt like she fit what Diddy was looking for and invited her to the Combs after party.
What, a middle schooler?
Basically. There, once she got there, though, she said she drank something that made her feel woozy and lightheaded, and she felt like she needed to lay down, and then she ended up getting, you know, by him and two other celebrities.
I wonder who those other celebrities are. See, that's what we need to find out, who these other people are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big question. Can they just give us one? Just tell us one of these celebrities that they keep dangling in front of us.
Well, they'd have to have a case built against these people before you're going to find out who they are. So
I would say so, too. And my last story, and this was just Dave Portnoy. He flew his jet into Atlanta again last week, and he adopted another dog from Lifeline Animal Shelter in Fulton County. This time it was Pete the Beagle. So now Miss Peaches has a brother, Pete the Beagle. And oh my God, I love watching these videos. They're immediately the bestest friends that you ever did have. And they play and play all day long. And I thought that was super cool, especially because Fulton is so full. And, you know, Dave could get a dog from anywhere. And I don't care what you think of him. I think he's a cool dude. I mean, the fact that he is such a, I can't stand Taylor Swift. He's a huge Taylor Swift fan. And he went to the concert last week, and she sent him a special note and was like, thanks for always, you know, being real and being That's a cool. fan of mine, even though, you know, when people tell you not to be.
Mm.
And he's always said he's never going to not like or not hang out with somebody because of how they vote, if they vote differently than him.
And yet some places he goes to get a piece of pizza and the people inside freak out and yell at him.
Yeah, like idiots, yeah. Like imbeciles. Yeah. It's totally stupid. I mean, you don't have to like everything he says, but I think he's a cool dude.
Get him, see if he'll come on sometime.
Are you a kid?
He needs our help.
Please. He has his own podcast. It's good jillions.
Fledgling bar stool.
Yeah.
Maybe we can help him with his three homes and private jet.
Well, tell him to bring us onto his platform then. Somebody bring us onto your platform so we can make some money.
Yeah, I would love to be on the Best Friends pod somewhere in there.
Shit, I'll even go with iHeartMedia. Give us some dough.
Right, that's all my news.
Thank you. Okay, for our final spooky season entry here, we decided to do our favorite all-time Halloween movie, scary movie, whatever you want to call it. And this comes from Variety's best horror movies of all time list, which the link will be right here. But instead of reading their list, we all just decided to pick our own. And so, Jeff, why don't you go first? Now, these are our favorite horror movies of all time. And you still have time because Halloween's a couple days from now.
I'm not a big horror movie person, but Jaws. My favorite horror movie of all time, because there's no supernatural shit. It's something that could really happen, and it scared the shit out of me from going in the ocean.
Yeah.
Amity Island has long been known for its clean air, but in recent days, a cloud has appeared on the horizon. A cloud in the shape of a killer shark.
Kill it, quick!
Jaws is timeless.
From like 1975 to 1985, I wouldn't fucking go in a pool or a lake.
it scared me out of the ocean.
Yeah, I don't like the ocean at all, and it has a lot to do with the creatures that live in it. Sharks.
And it the first blockbuster created the word blockbuster.
It was, wasn't it?
The lines around the block, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I never
Tentpole movie.
I got a tent pole right now thinking about it. Who's that? Roy Scheider, Richard Dreyfuss, and what's his name? Robert Shaw.
So fucking good.
I don't want no volunteers. I don't want no mates. There's too many captains on this island. $10,000 for me by myself. For that, you get the head, the tail, the whole damn thing.
I know. Did he get an Oscar nomination for that movie?
I don't know.
Probably not. Probably didn't win. 75 was, who knows what was winning that year, but he was fucking great in that movie. The singing the song and being who he was, just
great. You seen his son that looks just like him?
Yeah.
Sounds just like him, too.
Yeah.
He's a good actor, he was in his day. Steph, you're next.
Mine is, and I struggle with this because, everything for me is genres. So, my favorite sci-fi horror would be The Thing, 100%. And then my favorite scary movie is probably The Taking of Deborah Logan. That movie scares the shit out of me. And but my favorite, I guess, overall would be Pet Sematary.
Mm-hmm.
The 1989.
The original one, yeah.
Yeah, The Ridge. I love that movie. I love just the whole buildup of it and Fred Gwynn.
Well, sometimes that is better. The person you put up there ain't the person that comes back.
But Christ on his throne, no.
It was just brutal. It was brutal. The Pascal, whenever he started taking him out there and just... all of it, the buildup, the cat, and then the end of it. Like, yeah, nobody is going to be okay.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So that was my main thing that I loved about it. That's what made it such a good horror movie. Oh God. And of course, what's her face?
Zelda?
Yeah, Zelda. It was a guy. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He was Zelda. A contortionist. Yeah.
Never get out of bed again. Never get out of bed again!
Those scenes, they messed me up when I was a teenager and I saw that movie.
For years, I thought that Pascal, the actor that played Pascal, was Reverend Horton Heat.
Really?
Yeah, they look exactly the same.
Can I say, though, too, today is my stepdad's birthday, and he's been passed away for a few years now, and he's the whole reason why I love horror movies. And just for him, I would like to say Motel Hell. That was his favorite horror movie. And he used to make me watch it when I was like 8, 9 years old.
You may never again spend a night away from home. Your most terrifying nightmare could never prepare you for what happens to the guest. Motel Hell.
This was like required viewing in our house. Then he would always tell us he was going to make sausage out of us.
Posted a nice tribute to him on Facebook today. That was very nice.
I did. I just woke up and I was thinking about him, and I missed him. You know, 2020 was a messed up year, you guys.
It was.
If you like had people that passed away and stuff, it was like you didn't even have time to stop and really dwell on it because you're like, what's next? What's next? So
when you couldn't even go see him if they were in the hospital because of.
Well, that was, I didn't get to go to his funeral because he died like right at the beginning of COVID. Everything was, I couldn't go, you couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So anyway, but he would have loved this episode.
Mine is The Shining, 1980.
Yes.
Stanley Kubrick, Jack Nicholson, Danny Lloyd, Shelley Duvall, Scatman Crothers, Stephen King. It's just, for me, it's one of those movies that I can watch, and I've probably seen it 100 times, but I enjoy watching it. Even if I catch it flipping channels, I'll still stop and watch to the end.
That bitch. As long as I live, she'll never let me forget what happened. I did hurt him once, okay? It was an accident, completely unintentional. Could have happened to anybody.
I watched that movie in, when it was on HBO, so it must have been 1981 or 80, I don't remember when. And I knew the book, I knew Stephen King, I was 10, and I knew Jack Nicholson, you know, I knew the people in the movie, so I was like, I want to watch this. And I made it through most of it, the blood coming through the elevator and the twins creeped me out, the Tony creeped me out. Mrs. Torrance, Mrs. Torrance. But the thing that creeped me out and still haunts me to this day is the woman getting out of the tub and falling to pieces.
No, yeah.
That grossed me out as a kid. And the music and everything. And then I read the book a couple years later, and I was like, wow, these are so different.
Yeah.
But they can exist in two different planes. It's obviously not Stephen King's creative vision in that movie. It's just source material for Kubrick, but good movie all over.
So is The Shining. That's also a good.
Yeah.
We don't want to get sued.
You read my thoughts. You've got The Shining.
You mean Shining.
Shh. You want to get sued?
Ah, all right, mine from 1978 is Halloween. And this movie was directed by John Carpenter, with Jamie Lee Curtis and Donald Pleasence as the stars. Nick Castle played whatever they called him. What do they call it? The shape. Michael Myers.
You can't kill the boogeyman.
Get in there. Come on, Tommy. Now lock the door.
Somebody else played him without the mask on, and there was a little kid version of him, too. And then PJ Souls and her nipples in all their glory. PJ Souls, one of my favorite 70s and early 80s actresses. I love that movie. It's one of it's the perfect slasher movie, because not only is it a slasher movie, it is a movie. And I still remember Siskel and Ebert talking about it and why they liked it so much, because it was the first time, instead of seeing everything through the eyes of the killer, you saw things through the eyes of the victim. No.
Strike that. Reverse it. This way, please.
I forget. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But you get my point. Good movie. Halloween 2, Halloween 3, good. And then the rest I don't care about.
Well, I liked the Danny McBride, the first one that they did. I didn't care about the second one. But that first one, whenever Danny McBride and them, they rebooted it, it was great. It was very funny.
Yeah,
they did a great job with it.
That's not one of the Rob Zombie ones.
No, that's Rob Zombie's reimagining of it. No, Danny McBride's reimagining came out
that was David
5 years
Green's
ago.
Version. Yeah, David Green directed those, all three of them.
Cool.
Danny McBride was a part of it, though, right? He wrote it.
He was one of the writers. Last two were just, and especially the last one, it just kind of killed the franchise as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they
sucked.
Hello, America. I'm Casey Kasem. This week, we travel back to October 26th, 1984. The number one song in the country was I Just Called to Say I Love You by Stevie Wonder. The number one movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator. And the number one television show, V. Can you believe that? That horrible show about reptilian aliens who eat people. And the 1984 World Series, the Detroit Tigers beat the San Diego Padres 4-1. And I want to wish a very happy birthday to Anthony Rene Wimberly, born this day in 1962. Tony, as I call him, is an American serial killer who, between December 1984 and January 1985, unalived three women in Oakland for the purpose of robbery, as well as raping somebody. After his arrest, he confessed to his crimes and was later given three life sentences. Other than that, he's a decent guy who loved dogs, pre-disco era Bee Gees. Happy birthday, Tony. See you when you get out.
Real quick, we talk about the podcast universe, what we listen to, what we watched, and any sort of news. Jeff, go ahead.
I only listened to the first episode of the Conan and Jordan show. This was released, I guess, on Sirius XM back when Conan started his channel.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to start releasing them every week now on the podcast feed.
That's cool.
So it's Conan and Jordan Slansky, you know, their relationship. They hate each other, basically. It's funny to listen to them to talk to each other.
That's cool.
Yeah, I've just been listening to audiobooks.
Oh, mine is it's one of those Dateline podcasts. It's called The Man in the Black Mask.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story. They have a new episode every week, and it's about some low-budget horror film director who, the way they're making it sound like, actually put on the mask and killed somebody just to, like, get buzz for the movie. This took place in Canada. I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but that's the way that they're painting it. It's like a few episodes in. It's another one of those things, like if you do Dateline Plus or whatever, you can listen to them all. But I'm being a cheap ass biatch, and I'm watching them week by week or listening to them week by week. So far, there's like three of them in there, and then next week there'll be episode four, blah, blah, blah.
Cool.
And I'm still listening to Kill List.
Right on.
I just listened to my usual week listens, like Tell 'em Steve Dave this week, as well as The Ralph Report. But I'm on to book three in the Dungeon Crawler Carl series.
And, you're digging that.
Still good. Yeah,
it's really good, man. I'm listening to the first book still. But you dig it if you listen to it.
Yeah.
I got to sign back up for Audible. I went kind of nuts with the podcast this week comparatively. Of course, every Saturday I listened to Tim Dillon. I checked out Joe Rogan Experience with Graham Hancock. Flint Dibble Fallout. And, you know, Graham Hancock coming on there and, you know, basically talking about, you know, pseudo-archaeology was pretty good. There's a new podcast that's also going to be my staff pick, Zero Stars with Bobcat Goldthwait and Sean McKittrick, where they talk about bad reviews that people have gotten. The first episode is just those two talking to each other, and then the second one, they have director Eli Roth.
Cool. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it. I got an alert or I saw something on Instagram, listened to it, and then I posted on their on Bobcat's page that I liked it, and he gave me a little heart and said thank you.
Tell him to come on and promote it.
I don't like doing that, but I might try that. Also, Kill List and Craig Shoemaker was on Harland Highway again, and he's going to be at the Punchline my birthday weekend, and Jeff and Stu and I are going, our friend Stu. We're going to go see Craig Shoemaker, and you can also hear him on one of my podcasts, on the Popcast podcast. But he's funny. I think he's funny, and I think I slept on him for far too long over the years.
He's the right, love master.
Yeah, baby. I don't know how he gets away with doing that voice now, but it's all right, baby. I didn't use my finger to ring the doorbell.
Meanwhile, over in Conyers, they're still proudly serving East Metro Atlanta, and they have been for 40 years. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is the place to be this fall. Did you hear we changed it? It's football, cold weather, unless you live in Atlanta. Their featured beer selection this fall is Monday Night Brewing's Oktoberfest. It is a German-style Märzen Lager with noble German hops for a subtle bitterness and a smooth, balanced, finished, perfect for the fall. They've got the best gyros, euros, pizza, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Dustin knows he eats there every day. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and on Saturdays from 12 to 9. They are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. So if Dustin's there that night, you might have a good shot at winning. Their food truck is also available. Just contact Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around and for all your business and continued support. Thank you for all your support to the best pizza place around. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for, dummy? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens since 2005, which is almost 20 years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
All right, here we go. We're going to read your YouTube comments. I haven't read them yet, so if I get shocked or upset, please don't bother paying any attention to me. Mr. Heuristics writes, Tim Dillon's podcast is the best in the business. Nobody goes as hard and is as deftly nuanced. When he calls out obese people, he's calling out himself and how he was raised in Long Island. But what about when he's telling people to kill themselves? And the response to that is just a bunch of argument. Flash Fuchs, which is Fuchsie, so I'll just call him Fuchsie, says, maybe I'm jaded growing up watching the Halloween movies, Friday the 13th movies, Extra, etc. The last time I can remember a film getting under my skin and making me go, whoa, was Bone Tomahawk. If you know the scene I'm talking about, woo. I don't know.
Yeah. Watch it, man.
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
that was a great movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do that. Fuchsie also says, Steph got the human centipede crop dusting.
That I did.
Natus writes, I like the Sandler Netflix movie Hubie Halloween. It's absolutely ridiculous, but it makes me laugh.
Yeah, that's funny.
And another comment from Fuchsie. I think Art, the Terrifier clown, is a hilarious character. There's something scary and wacky about him. That is true. And it looks like we did a couple of polls this week with some good responses. What is your take on the Terrifier movies? Love them, bring more gore. Got 21%. Meh, seen it all before. Got 29%. And haven't watched them yet. 1 with 50%.
That's me.
yes. And the other poll was, do you think Joe Rogan will get one or both of the candidates on JRE before the election? And definitely was 6%. Maybe one of them won with 63%. And no way was in the middle with 31%. The next one is, which is the best horror comedy to watch this Halloween season? And I think we used ours.
Yeah, Dustin won.
Yeah, Dustin won. Shaun of the Dead. Slither, a tight third place at 5%. And American Werewolf in London with 32%. And mine was 0%. Go ahead, sleep on one of the funniest cannibal movies ever made. Would you try DiGiorno's Thanksgiving pizza? Yes, it sounds delicious. 18%. Maybe, but I'm skeptical. 36%. And no way hard pass. Wins with 45%.
But you guys are going to get that pizza, right? You're going to eat
that. I'll look for it.
Yeah.
As soon as it's out, I'm getting it and I'm going to eat it.
You're going to try it on the show, though. I thought that was the whole point. Y'all are going to eat that shit together on the show.
Yeah, I'll make it and then I'll warm it in the microwave when I get to work.
That'll be our Thanksgiving episode.
His views.
Or.
Snooze.
And we're back.
We are back. Jeff, give us views or snooze.
And last week was Brothers, which I watched. It was pretty good. It was a fun romp. Hysteria, which I haven't watched yet. And It's Florida Man, which I watched the first one. It was very good.
That was funny as shit.
Very funny. Yeah. Sam Richardson. God. Sam Richards is so good.
Yeah. Everybody in it was good. It was just, I didn't know what to expect, and
Randall Park. never mind.
Yeah.
this week, Territory starts on Netflix. This is Michael Dorman's new show, set in the Australian Outback. Looks pretty good. It's a views for me. Before starts this week on Apple TV, this is Billy Crystal's new show. He's been making the rounds on some shows. He was on The View promoting it. This is not a comedy, I don't think. He plays a widowed child psychiatrist. I'm going to watch it, though. I like Billy Crystal.
I might give that a views.
Yeah, I'll give it a views. The previews look really good. Looks interesting.
And then Seth Meyers, stand-up, sit-down comedy special, Dad Man Walking, premieres on HBO Max on the 25th. I'm going to watch that.
Probably snooze on that one. But that's me. I've never been a big fan of his. Thank you. Now we'll do our staff picks really quick. Mine, I already mentioned, is 0 stars. Artists critique their hardest critics with your hosts, Bobcat Goldthwaite and Sean McKittrick. I think it's available on YouTube as well.
Mine is I'm rewatching. Oh, God. They put Detroiters on Netflix last week, and I started rewatching it again. And I swear to God, you guys, I don't laugh as hard at anything as I do Detroiters, truly. It makes me laugh like early 2000s, the way I would laugh.
I wish it would become so big on Netflix that they make them make more.
Me too. Oh, and Jeff,
fuck Comedy Central.
That first episode, whenever they're doing the hot tub guy, and then they show the cut of the commercial that they left Janine to do, and it has that thing waving in the background like a silhouette. He's like, I wish I would have met you when I was 18. I thought I was going to die.
On Prime, there's a documentary, The Tragically Hip, No Dress Rehearsal.
I wanted to watch this. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's a really good. I mean, if you're a hip fan, it's you've probably already seen it by this time. But I always loved Tragically Hip. I always thought they were a great band, and not never given the due that they were, or yeah. never given what they were due. So
mine's Shrinking Season 2 started on Apple TV. Harrison Ford, so fucking good in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old am I?
Yeah, he's got to be pushing 80 now, huh?
Does he sound old on this show?
Yeah. And he's like real curmudgeonly.
Yeah, get out of here.
But he's hilarious.
I should check that out.
You should. It's really good.
Yeah, I'll watch it after.
It's made by the same people that made Ted Lasso, so.
I'll watch it after I'm done watching Baby Bus for the 7,000th. Little Baby Bus. Starting in November, which is next month, Apple's going to start charging Patreon subscribers who pay for Patreon through the app and their app store an extra 30%, which means all fees said and done is actually 43%. Say you're paying $10 a month in the Patreon. It'll now cost you $14.50. We don't take the hit. They just take money from you. And if they take more money from you than you're supposed to get, then we take the hit because you're going to cancel. So to avoid these fees, change how you pay for the subscription. Just go to a web browser.
It won't change anything, but it'll save you 43%.
All right. Listen, you can support our show and become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. By the way, I hope you watched the PSA that just aired, because if you're on there and you're using the app on Apple, change it right now, please. Save yourself money. But you can find out how to become a member of Radio Labyrinth Patreon by going to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And when you're there, you can find the different tiers. Right now, we're working on changing that. But right now, if you pay a dollar or more, you have access to Radios in the Dark. And I got it right again, 2 weeks in a row.
No, you did. It's the song.
In the dark. Yes. And, you know, we're working on trying to get lighters and things that people would want. If you've been with us for 3 months, you should get a reward. And if you stick around for three more months, you should get another reward. So whether that be stickers and stuff, we'll figure all that out. But in the meantime, if you'd like to become an executive producer of the show, which gives you a credit as a producer, all you have to do is, fork over $25. And that's a lot of money these days. We understand it. So we appreciate any amount you can give, but especially the executive producer level. So thank you to John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. All right. And if you sign up new as one, I'll do a doodle for you and all that jazz. And listen, if you're watching this on YouTube, like and subscribe and turn on those alerts. But liking and subscribing is very important because it lets us know that you you like us. And you can also leave a comment. Leave a comment in the YouTube page and right below here. And we'll read it on the show because we have fun doing that. And you're free to have as much fun as you like leaving a comment. So unless I've left anything out, please remember to keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Well, what do you say? All good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the Radio.